welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Alive in God, I always say it, and it is a wonderful thing. So we'll start there. That's the start of our point this morning. What a wonderful day. It's a great time to be alive, and it's a great time to be alive in God. I'd like to just bring a few, it's a couple of scriptures, and it'll mostly come from, just get that light there, out of 2 Peter. I'll just stick a little bit of background in there. The Peter that we're going to talk about is the Peter who walked on water. The Peter who challenged Jesus, if you like. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter, a man like you and me. A man who was quite obnoxious at times. Quite stubborn. Yet tender-hearted. He was very tender-hearted. A man who was slow to understand. He was a fisherman. That's not saying that fishermen aren't quick to understand, but in this circumstance, in this sense, he was at that point slow to understand and tried to step in places where he shouldn't. And yet, he was slow to understand and yet very profound when he said things. He was bold for Christ. Totally bold for him. He would step out. He said, "Lord, call to me and I will come out on the waters. I'll come to you. I'll be bold." And yet, he denied him 3 times later on in his life. A man like you and I. When I say a man, I mean a man and a woman like you and I. A person. He gave his all, did Peter. He was a man who was, if he was going to give anything, he'd give everything. You could see his heart was on his sleeve. A man who said, "Yeah, if you want me there, I'm there." And yet, from time to time, he wanted something in return. Peter had a motive behind why he said things. It was self. Peter was imperfect and failed miserably from time to time. But one thing that stood out in Peter's life was that he never, ever gave up. He never, ever gave up. You know, you could knock that man down 100, 1,000 times, and he would never give up. He would always be there saying, "Let's have another go. Let's go for it." Now, this is a fisherman who was given a new identity by Jesus when he said, "Forget that identity that you've had before. Come follow me." So Jesus was on his case. He said, "Come follow me." He gave Peter a new purpose. He said, "Come on, leave everything else behind. I've got a new purpose for you. You're following me, so you're going to come into something which is totally different from what you're doing. No longer will you catch fish, but you'll catch men." So Jesus called Peter to a new direction. Now Peter, when he writes this letter, he wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter, obviously. It does kind of seem feasible that that is the same person. When he wrote this letter in 2 Peter, He was writing to a church that was coming under attack from different types of theologies, different types of ideas, ideologies, different kind of senses of, oh, we've got a new thing happening, let's do that. And when we were praying earlier, I'll just keep going. When we were praying earlier, I said to the Lord earlier, what am I going to pray on this morning for the prayer meeting? And I, being a Peter, if you like, kind of sensed the Lord was saying a certain scripture, so we prayed it. And I've actually just realized that they're both linked together. I hadn't kind of got that. It's almost like it was planned. And I kind of looked at it and thought, yeah, actually, yeah. When we were praying about a new destiny and about how the Lord delights in people, and this is what this is all about. And when Peter writes this letter, he's writing to them saying that he's delighting in them, and he's saying to them, right, okay, now, there's lots of things going on in the world, but if you follow a certain thing, a certain path, a certain choice, then those things you will overcome, those things you will leap over, those things you will rise above. And it speaks it quite plainly when we look at 2 Peter 1. And in verse 5, he said, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So what we're saying is, Peter was a man of faith. Peter followed Jesus. Peter gave up everything he had and followed him. And so Peter understands what faith is all about. Peter understands that, having lived it, having been with Jesus, having been around him for so long, he knew what faith looked like. Okay, he had his moments, but he still knew what faith was. And when he comes to write this bit, he's writing on his experience, and he's writing on what he knows, and he's writing on what he's touched, and what he's seen, and what he's heard from Jesus. And so he's writing faith. At the start of your life is faith, because the first thing you do is believe. So as soon as you believe, faith is there. You've put your faith in Jesus, Lord and Saviour. You've been saved. And Peter says, okay, there is faith, and we've got faith. But he wants you to know that you need to add something to your faith. So he says, add to your faith virtue. Virtue. So I kind of had a quick look around trying to find out what virtue is. And virtue is goodness. So add goodness to your faith. So as you believe the Lord, add goodness to it. The goodness of the Lord. So what else does he say? So virtue is Christ's character. We cannot produce that character ourselves. We can only choose to draw from it. So God's goodness, we draw from God, the virtue of God, into our lives, and we add goodness to our faith. So we can't do that. We put faith with it, and faith allows us to draw from God what we need, the good things of God. And then he says, to virtue, knowledge. So we need to add knowledge to our faith and to our virtue. So these are all things that need to happen as we go along in our Christian life. We need to be adding things together. And it's a little bit like we were doing a little bit of gardening yesterday. And gardening is an amazing analogy for Christian things. You can use You can use gardening for almost everything. And having not been in the garden for a while, I had faith that the front garden would be nice. But I needed to add a bit of goodness and a bit of knowledge. Being the one that kind of, Robert will know what to do. But I like the weeds. I don't know why, they're great. They say a weed is only a weed if it's in the wrong place. Or to me, all weeds look great. The problem is they take over so quick that everything's covered in weeds and, you know, you end up with a nice little plant that gets stifled and it can't cope and it dies. But anyway, I don't mind weeds. But anyway, when you suddenly realise that you've got to dig your garden up, you've got to add a little bit of knowledge to which ones you need to pull out and which ones you shouldn't. And I'm kind of like, and there's a knock on the window. Not that one. Not that one. So knowledge is important. Knowledge is knowing, understanding. Knowledge is knowing the reason why, in a sense, why that one and doing that is important. Because we could just all run around like headless chickens. If we didn't learn anything or know anything, then we would not get very far. So the Lord says, add virtue. He said, add knowledge to your faith. Needless to say, I did do a decent job on the garden, did I not? Actually, thinking aside of that, I was quite concerned earlier on because, yeah, it is our wedding anniversary today, 29 years. And Sharon was sitting out there and she had a blue card and then an orange card. And all I could think in my mind was, thank you, Lord, for 29 years and Lord, please help me in the next pod. So maybe that's what's in there somewhere. Please help me. Help me, Lord. Then the Lord kind of brings Peter to a place where he realizes, when he says to virtue, on again, to knowledge, self-control. So we see today in the world lots and lots of control, lots and lots of manipulation, wrong control, emotional leading, not self-control. Now, this is a self-control in the right way. This is a control of your emotions, living above the circumstances, living above things that would cause you to be out of control. So, Peter, as obviously he's witnessed this a few times, he's done things that were not self-controlled, and he understands that sometimes you need to exercise self-control. Discipline. You need to make sure that you are not emotionally driven. Now, that's sometimes harder to do than we realize. And self-control is self-control. You can't flower up anything it any other way. To be self-controlled, you need to be self-controlled. It's simple. Norton likes that one. I said, he's got that. He's got it, hasn't you? But it is. You can't flower it up any other way. In order to be self-controlled, you've got to be self-controlled. That's good. It's okay. Let me just find the next bit, because the Lord gave me loads of bits of paper today. And he said, it's all on there. You just need to find it. Then he says, to self-control, perseverance. And I'm sure that's what Sharon was writing on that card. Please, Lord, make me persevere with him. But perseverance is a continued and determined effort
to carry on. It's quite deathly quiet, yeah, I realise that. But perseverance is the opportunity at which you can give up, but you don't. Have you seen that? It's not a very good thing, but it, I think it's, is it Lucozade? Something where they're going, these athletes are going, and they're really running and running and running, and then it goes, and the voice said, stop now, and they go, no, we carry on. Stop now, we carry on. That's what makes the athlete for the Olympics rather than a county person or a semi-professional, if you like. So it's the person that says, no, I'm not packing up. When the voices keep going, pack up, pack up. You cannot carry on. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. And I will. And I will. I won't pack up. Persevere. Just keep going on. Continually. Then Peter says, to perseverance, godliness. So add godliness. So that is the whole thing of obeying and respecting God, loving God, spending time with God, fixing your eyes on God, drawing from God, the godliness, so you become like Him. You draw all the virtue, the goodness, the knowledge, the self-control. You are diligent in your way, and you draw all these things through faith. So we draw godliness. And I would imagine that when Peter was thinking about these things and saying, you know, what you're saying, Lord, Peter would be looking, thinking, himself thinking, you know, I was a rough diamond, if you like. And the Lord has honed me and cut me and made all those facets so that now the light shining on me shines out brighter. And that's what diamonds do. Diamonds are cut in a certain way to allow light to be shown more visible. It's reflected through all its facets. And you are a diamond. And I suppose Peter was looking at that thinking, yeah, I need to be adding godliness to faith. So that when people look at me, they see Jesus. And he's explaining these things to a bunch of people who are being hammered left, right and centre on what they should believe. And he's saying, forget all that. This is what you need to do. This is the path for righteous living. So if he's saying that to them, he's saying it to us. Because all scripture is God-breathed and can be used for us as well. Then he says, I think we'll just leave that bit there. Godliness, you add to godliness brotherly kindness, mutual affection. Mutual affection. Love one another. Love your brother. So he's realizing you can't do it on your own. You can't just stand there and be an island. No man is a castle on his own. You know, brick all the walls up and there's me, the old stereotyped Britman, British man standing there going, pull up the drawbridge. I'm fine, you know, I'm all right, Jack. But God is showing Peter that he needs other people. And we need other people. And we need to show them kindness. We need to show them Jesus. We need to show them where the hope is, where the love is, which comes next. Bear in mind, Peter's been there. Peter's seen it.
He stood there when Jesus was loving on people, when he was being kind to people, when he could have said, no, I'm not doing that. That's not what's right. I'm not going to do this. You know, you made your choice. I'm sorry. You did this and that's affected that. You're just going to have to live with it. Jesus was kind. Jesus loved on people so much. And it's just an awesome thing when you think about how the Lord has changed Peter's life from being a fisherman who, in a sense, may very well have been unschooled, untrained, spending his time with other fishermen, to being a person that can write something like this. But what he's saying is that I've gone through that stage, I've seen this happen, and I know what happens at the end. And this is the step. This is the way that the rubber hits the road. It works. So Peter had passion. If anybody ever knew a man who had passion, Peter had passion. Peter had a go-get-it attitude. Even so much, he was chopping people's ears off. But so he sometimes got a bit bold and did things, and Jesus had to kind of go, whoa, hold on a minute. But he didn't mind. Jesus don't mind doing things like that. Jesus doesn't mind us continue. As long as we're moving along, as long as we're pressing on, as long as we're moving on towards the goal, he doesn't mind us mucking up from time to time. Jesus has got you back, but he got passion. He got an energy. He got a desire. And this morning was a focus. It was talking about this in Psalm 1. It says, blessed are those who don't sit in the seat of, or stand in the place of scorners or sit down or walk with people who are not talking right, acting right, being right. And it said, if you don't do that, then you'll be built up and you'll be like a tree planted at the side of the rivers of living water. So Peter knew what all that was. Peter was quite prepared over the course of his life to be put on the potter's wheel. The Lord knew what Peter was like when he called him. The Lord knew exactly what he was going to say to him. He knew exactly what Peter would reply to him, what he would be like, what he would act like. He knew exactly how Peter would be. And that's why he called him. But he put Peter on the potter's wheel. So he took hold of Peter as a piece of clay and he tossed him onto the wheel and he kept him spinning. And he kept him spinning and he kept him spinning. And all the time he's spinning, he's adding water, which symbolizes the Holy Spirit. He adds water to keep the clay from drying out. And it also makes it be able to shape it. So the Lord put his hands around Peter and started to shape his life. And he was on that wheel spinning round and round and round. And sometimes we can feel like that. We're on that wheel spinning round and round. And when the Lord, through Jesus, puts his hands around you and he kind of starts to move and manipulate the clay. And Peter came under that. Peter knew what that was all about. He didn't mind being manipulated by Jesus, by being teased out by saying, no, come on, okay, a bit more Holy Spirit, a bit more water, a bit more malleable, make you a bit, don't dry out, Peter. And that's, I think that's what he's trying to say. Out of all of them, keep pressing on. Keep persevering to the end of the race. Run that race. And Peter's kind of, yeah, it hurts sometimes. You prod the clay and manipulate it in a certain way. And you're actually starting to shape it into something I hadn't kind of thought that that's what you'd do. I thought you'd shape me into something like this. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to shape you into something like this. And it may be totally different from what you think. And the Lord is doing that for all of us over the course of our lives. He's shaping us. But we need to add these things to our faith as we walk. Because Peter's saying how important it is. And he actually says here, he says, by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. And that's what we attain as we pick up these things and walk with them and keep moving on and keep persevering, keep showing that virtue, that godliness, that love, that brotherly kindness. So, Lord, have I covered all the bits on my paper? Maybe I have. Maybe I haven't. I personally believe that I can't kind of big this up enough. Being a Christian when I was 19, so 31 years ago, as a young man, I realized very early that as a man, I needed other men to help me walk my walk. And over the course of time, I've been in many groups, many life groups, many thingy groups, many training groups, many this group, many that group. Many will make you a man who you need to be group. But over the course of that time, you know, God builds things into you and you're able to develop in a way that is the way God wants you to. But over the last year or so, I've really, I mean, it must be more than that, 2 years, because church has been almost 2 years, is it? Well, just more than 2 years before that. But I've realized how important other men are and other women are. But for me at the moment, how important other men are. And so I'm just going to stand here and big up the men's group. Now, that's not that I don't intend to big up the women's group, because I hear how good the women's group is all the time. But I believe that... and I hear how awesome Myrna's group is with Jamal and Sandra. We need more groups, and that will happen. But just as at this moment, my personal development over the last 2 years has accelerated at a speed that I could never have imagined because of the men. And that's no exaggeration. I would say 3 years ago was a tough times. Really tough times on the ropes. I've mentioned this before, and I don't think I need to mention it again, but I was hit. I allowed a blow to go through the armor and hit hard. I hit the ropes, but I didn't go down. God wouldn't let me go down. So it didn't matter how much the enemy was beating me all over the place and on the ropes and that at the time. This and the men is important. The men have drawn me along. They've drawn me out of myself. And God has used the men to develop me and show me about character, about discipline, about love, about belonging, about understanding, about the virtue. Brotherly kindness is amazing, awesome. And I dare say everybody else is the same in whatever group or whatever it is that you do. Please don't feel condemned at all if you're not in a group at the moment. This is not what I'm saying this for. This is just what I'm trying to explain about how certain, like, Peter knew there was a progression that we needed to go through in order to help us, to build us, and to, like gardening, like planting. When we plant something in the ground, we expect it to grow. We don't. I mean, yesterday I was digging this patch out, and I suddenly had this amazing revelation. So I was on my knees, and there's a patch here. I was digging with the fork. There was roots the size of this all over the place. Thankfully, most of them were dead, so they were just snapped and came out. And the ground was quite decent, so I was digging away and digging it out, and I was digging everything. So there was nothing in there when I finished. That's the kind of gardening I like. There was nothing left. Just a brick wall and a bit of lawn. And in this strip was nothing. And I had this amazing revelation that the only thing that will grow in there is weeds. If you don't plant something. I was just looking at it and I'm thinking, oh, have I got to do the other side? I've got to go and do the other side in a minute. And I suddenly looked at it and I thought, you know, what you need to do, you need to put plants in that not overtake, but they know their position and they stifle out the rest and they kill it off. They're more important than the little weed. And all you do is you come along and if there's a little weed, you can just pluck him out and that's it. But I'm looking at it thinking, you know what? If I leave this patch like this for 2 weeks, it'd be full of weeds. And I thought, well, that's like my life as well. I mean, they say 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. And it does. It does. And that's why I'm loving the opportunity to be able to encourage people to pray and get in there with the Lord and really build themselves up and see what God wants them to achieve and to attain and to pull down on earth what is in heaven. But, yeah, I mean, it's this walk. And the men are teaching me things which... And it's not the book, because we follow a book by Ed Coles. But it's not necessarily the book. The material is brilliant. And we have some fantastic conversations around it. But the love of the men is overwhelming. Just being in the same room as them is like a privilege. It's like an honour. It's like you've been chosen for something special. That you've had a letter through the door from the king that says, by royal appointment, I want you to be involved in this group of people. And I can't say enough about that. So that is where, when the enemy attacks, or when you have certain things that come against you, that is where you can be secure. And you're secure in God. You're secure in him. But God puts other people around you and says, you're not on your own. Terry is the one that's going to come and put his arms around you when you're feeling low. Phil and Andrew and Larry and Colin, you know, Norton. But it's just that they're so passionate about encouraging and building as each one of us up. It's frightening. These men are frightening. They are dynamic powerhouses. They really are. They have and they are learning how to add these things to their faith. They really are. So I just want to say that, you know, that is the place where we, as I've found, where I've been encouraged, where I've been built up, where I've been given opportunity to fall flat on my face. And Jamal, of course, I remember. Sorry, Jamal. And Robert. can't forget Robert. The opportunity there is knowing that you're in a group of men who have got your back. And we had this kind of thing a few weeks ago where we somebody prayed about us being an army, and it was about us being like the Roman army where they stand with the shields and then the person behind, and you don't need any armor on your back. I don't know whether it was you, Larry, or not. Was it you, Larry? It sounds good. Sounds the sort of thing you'd say. But the armor is there and that, and everything, and then they do the formation where they... And they are relentless in their kind of attack. They'll all get together in a line. The flanks are covered off, ready, and they'll just kind of stand there. And then it's just like, we're moving forward. Don't care what you're saying. Don't care what you're doing. And then there's the one behind them with a sword, and it's kind of like, and they're just relentlessly moving forward. And that's what the group feels like. It is relentlessly moving me forward, doing. It is causing me to do what I really want to do, but I don't do it. Do you understand that? Yeah. It's getting me to do things that I know I really want to do, and yet I don't. But they're encouraging me to do. So I love that. And they're just so much go-getters. And so that is the place where I encourage you to be, if you're a man. And if you're a woman in another group, and if you pray for Israel or Iraq or the homeless, you reach out to the homeless, and we want more groups, we want more people with passion in those groups, then please be part of one. But that's not the point of this. The point of this is that Peter was a man who knew. He knew Jesus. He touched Jesus. He heard Jesus. He'd been around Jesus for 3 years. And I start out as a Peter. And I've been around these men for a couple of years, and I can see a parallel where the men are drawing me along. The Lord is putting in them things to bring me out of myself, to draw me out and to lift me up and getting me off the ropes. They've got me off the ropes. Oh, the Lord does it, yes, but he uses people. And he's surrounded me with love, with brotherly kindness, to a place where you can stand firm and know that they've got your back. God's got your back. They're on your side. Okay, you muck up, they'll tell you. And that's right. They should, and they will. But they encourage you. They encourage you to come back. So in a sense, we're all diamonds in the making. We've all got a diamond that is being cut and honed and polished and whatever you do with a diamond to get all the facets. And then it is constantly rubbed and rubbed and rubbed and cut and cut and cut until it achieves from that funny looking thing into something which is worthy and fit for a king. And I believe part of that development is through the small groups. It's through groups of loving one another, getting together, and just encouraging one another that together, we can run the race together. We can do it. Because God says we can. We're already victors. We're already on the winning side. We're already in heaven with Jesus. He's already saying, well done. Because you didn't give up. You know, it would have been easy for me. If it hadn't been for these men, it would have been easy for me, for my legs to buckle. It would have been easy for me to say, I can't take another blow. I can't take another hit like that. But I know now that they've encouraged me through Jesus. They've encouraged me to stand tall and to put my armor on, keep it on. Don't let a blow come through and hit. If you've got your shield of faith up, don't let it down. Keep it up, Richard. Keep that shield up. Keep that helmet on in the right place. Don't let it slip down over your eyes. It fits just right. And keep pressing forward. So that's what I want to encourage you with this morning. Peter knew how to encourage these guys that were struggling with all these different types of ideas that were going on. Well, we're still in the same world. Different ideas still come out, different fancies one day, different buzzwords, different things that you need to do. They're still the same as they were back then. So Peter wrote that message to a group of people that needed to be encouraged and said, look, do this and you'll press on to the end. The race will be won. And that is what the Lord is saying to us today. We can press on. We can do it. And we will do it. So if you'd like to stand. Yeah, Father, we just want to thank and praise you. We want to glorify your name. We want to exalt you today. That you have made us determined people. People who will persevere no matter what. People who will continue to the end. People who know how to run that race. People who will jump over obstacles. People who will not let anything get in the way of their relationship with you, Lord. They will cultivate a relationship of love, of faithfulness, mercy and grace and kindness. Just like that diamond and each facet bringing a different facet of God, if you like. That as the light shines on it, what shines back is bigger than the sum of its parts. Thank you, Father, that you to light up your world. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, if we are on the ropes at this moment, and I believe that some will be, because we're human, Lord, just let them know, let anyone know in this place right now, that you have their back, that you have them in the palm of your hand. Father, I pray right now that stress and strife and worry would melt away right now. Any fear would melt away. Any wrong images, wrong thought patterns, wrong thinking of themselves or other things. It's low self-esteem, lack of confidence. Father God, I thank you that in you we have everything we need as we persevere, as we press on, add in those virtues, those good things of you in our lives. Father, Father, whatever situation we're going through right now, you're with us and you are placing people around us. There is someone for us, someone we can talk to, someone we can offload to, because they can take it. They'll just give it you, Lord. But we can come straight to you and we can say, Lord, take this. We don't want this. We don't want to be weighed down, burdened, or heavy laden by anything in this world. We just want the heavy weight of you upon our lives, because we can carry that. We can carry that, Lord. Father, let us be real this morning with you. Just like Peter, we can mess up a few times, but you're so gracious to restore us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Speak to each one this morning and show them how much you love.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.